As we've been learning the book of Proverbs, that we know that it is the best manual we can find with the practical wisdom, including human relationship, people skills. It is because it comes from God Himself who created the human race. And He teaches us what we need to know about human relationship, especially in marriage. If we just can practice what we learn from this book, wouldn't that be good? We would have the best marriages in the world. But we don't. According to the scripture, folks, according to scripture, God established three human institutions. First one is marriage. Second one is family. I'm sorry, the government. And third one is church. Out of these three, the basic institution is marriage that leads to the family. As goes the family, so does the church and the nation. That is why the biblical view of marriage and the family have been attacked so much and ridiculed constantly in modern society. Marriage between one man and one woman for a lifetime has been challenged by the perversion of homosexuality and the concept of free sex. See, if that's not bad enough, it is becoming all-out war against the family by trying to remove the authority and the authority of a husband and a father, and making the wife and mother as some sort of old-fashioned woman who does not know anything. And somehow they insist that for the sake of self-esteem of the children, they think that the children should be in charge of family. How would you like to have your teenager to be in charge of your family? Adultery committing Hollywood actors and actresses are becoming the role models for our children. And they, at least that's what they're trying to push. And liberal educational systems would not tolerate biblical principles. Even though they insist that we should be tolerant to everyone except one. What would that be? Just plain guess. Christianity. They think that it requires parental consent for a young teenage girl to take a couple of Tylenol for her headache. But they don't want the parents to know when she has abortion. Tell me that's not wrong. It is wrong. Through chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs is known for describing the virtuous woman. I believe that throughout the entire book, we can learn a proper and godly relationship between husband and wife that we should have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing this place where we can worship you together and each Sunday. And thank you for allowing us to live in a country where we still can have a freedom to worship you. As we open our heart to receive your instruction and wisdom about marriage the way you intended, we ask you to bless your word and deepen our insight and understanding and give us obedient heart to follow your principles and precepts. Father, we lift up President Obama that he may come to know Jesus. Bless the things that he does that following your way, and correct him if he doesn't do what you want him to do. And we ask you to put the hedge of protection around our troops, around the world, especially in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we also pray for the uniformed personnel around this community, along with the Border Patrol and firefighters and sheriff deputies and police officers. And we also lift up the today's weather. You're willing, let us have a good day of picnic so we may share your goodness with one another. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 22 of chapter 18 in the book of Proverbs, please. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And move to the chapter 19, verse 14. Houses and riches are inheritance from the fathers, but prudent wife is from the Lord. And the older lady says, Amen. Good. Remember the guys. It is easy for a husband to think that their wife should take a cue from this chapter 31 to be a better husband. As a matter of fact, the great theologian Jerry Hambis thought that. On his wedding, he read this chapter 31 for his wife. She thought it was a compliment to her. What he meant, it was a job description, for outline of her job description. And it's amazing. She is so patient. He's still alive. Yeah. I say that those silly husbands who think that their wife should take a cue from this book, chapter 31, they should take a cue from the rest of chapters. All 30 chapters. When a husband takes his wife for granted, it grieves father and his wife. He should love her and be loyal to her all the days of his life. Loyal to her. In this selfish world, it is not that difficult for us to be selfish and thinking about us only. As a matter of fact, it is natural for us to be selfish. But the Lord demands a husband to be priest of their family, to lead them to the throne of God with their own examples of unselfishness and gentleness and love. This book placed on a husband the responsibility of guiding his family according to God's wisdom. Gentlemen, don't expect your wife to love you first. Don't expect your wife to serve you first because you did not marry a maid. Your wife is a helpmate from God. Your wife is a soulmate for your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Keep your finger in the book of Proverbs. Let's go to Ephesians way in the back of the New Testament, please. We just memorized where it is, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. You there? Husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Gave himself for her. Remember this, gentlemen. The idea of marriage 50-50 is not from God. Okay? Because the way God intends for the marriage is two becoming one. It means that it is 100% devotion to your wife. You practice this and you will see your wife pleasantly surprised, and she will treat you so much better than before. And the ladies, I can just see that. Are you listening? If we concentrate on the loving our wives just as Christ loved the church, God will transform our marriages. As a result, He will transform our families, our churches, and even our nations. The reason the breakdown of the family in our country let me backtrack. Breakdown of family is why our country is in this state. Because they neglect the family. Someone once said that family can have a nation. Family can survive without nation. But nation cannot survive without family. We have a children today who have no value. We have a children who has no conscience. As long as they get what they want, they don't care. The reason is because of weak family. We need a family to be strengthened by the Word of God all over again. Our children, many of our children in the teenage group and all children, the younger children, know Jesus Christ's name as nothing more than cuss word. They have no idea who the Jesus Christ is, but they use it here, use his name as a foul language. The transformation of a family and then our country depends on you, husband. Bless you. You cannot solve all America's problem, but you can certainly start by doing what God has called you to do. Love your wife. Make all the other earthly relationships secondary. So if you're going to put this, some sort of a chart, the first person on the top of this chart would be God, followed by your wife, followed by your children, and whatever you can put it in. And where do you go? Way on the bottom. And you're thinking, I don't like it. Well, I'm not asking your opinion. I'm telling you, according to what Bible says. This carnal world belongs to Satan. He used it very effectively to deter the godly man and men in general, especially against Christian males. Do not open, let me say one more time, do not open yourself to any immoral things, especially pornography and flirting with someone other than your wife. If you want to flirt, flirt with your wife. She will love it. Okay? And the consequences of this are the far worse than you can possibly imagine. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 6, please. Proverbs chapter 6. Are you with me so far? Yeah. Any of you lost? Nope. And don't care? Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproof of the instruction are the way of life to keep you from evil woman, from the flattering tongue of seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. Nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Let's go to the verse, chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 14. The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. Highlight, underline, circle, point, arrow there. Deep pit. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. Okay, since we talked to the husband, let's talk to wives. I found... Okay, let's be fair, right? I found this remote control. It's a secular remote control, but it's for the ladies, okay? Would you like to see it? I know that the guys are really good at with the remote control. I'm one of them. Flip, 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 flip. I don't even have to look at it. I can see it. Guess what? I trained my wife. She's getting really good at it, too. She used to tell me, how do you know what you're... I just know. It's a guy thing. Now I found this. Would you put it up, please? I know it's hard to see, so let me read it for you. Off couch. Off couch now. Okay? And here, set the table. On the menu button, there's a dinner, dessert. Take me out. On the help side, there's a wash, dry, put away. It is up and down arrows. It's thermostat up. In our home, it should be down because I'm married to the Eskimo. Toilet seat down. Romance up. On the mute button, there is a snoring button, as well as a sports program button. Mute those things. And Michael. All right. Here's a pause. To apologize and start complimenting. The stop button says complaining. On the make me button, there's a three of them, and this is the reason why I said it is secular remote control. Make me a bath, and make me a drink, and the last one, the ladies, you like this, make me a queen. It's in Walmart, they have a sale going on here. I'm sure that we've heard the phrase, behind every great woman. Behind every great man, there is a great woman. Every wife either can build home or tear it down. If she walk in the Lord, she will be a builder. If she disobey His wisdom, she will be a destroyer. Proverbs chapter 14:1. The wise woman build her house, and the foolish pull it down with her hands. Chapter 12, verse 4. This is a great comparison. Excellent wife is a crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bone. You know what that means? It's a bone cancer, like a bone cancer. Crown or cancer, what a choice, right? As much as a husband can build or destroy his family, so does the wife. I'm sure that many of you have read and heard this verse from the book of Proverbs 25:24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman. I know, ladies, it's not your favorite verse. But for some reason, God put it here in the book of Proverbs. Not only once, three other times. Maybe there's a reason for it. A wife who quarrels constantly creates the kinds of atmosphere in the home that would tempt her husband to look for attention elsewhere. You hear me, ladies? And some of you guys thinking, I love this guy. And I like your preaching. And you kind of look at your wife, turning her way, and say, are you listening to him, sweetheart? Guys, don't get excited. There are some guys who love to quarrel, love to argue, for the sake of winning the argument. How childish is that? You're supposed to cherish your woman. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. Way in the back. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. When I said the Bible said a weaker vessel, it's not she is delicate. Some of the ladies are far tougher than the guys. It's more like a delicate china. And being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayer may not be hindered. Listen, please. Please be mindful, God hates family discord. He hates family discord. We should do everything we can to practice kind of love and produce unity and harmony in our homes. I believe that I have said this before, but it's worth repeating. The reason for the continuation of the argument between husband and wife is they are trying to get in the last word to hurt each other's feelings. Isn't that true? Folks, how about forgiveness? How about extra measure of love for one another? You may say, well, I cannot do that because I'm angry at him. Or she may say, I'm mad at him. I'm mad at her. If you're trying to outspeak the other person, you will constantly fight. Oh, the ladies do something different. They say nothing. Guys, you know that when there's a woman says nothing, that means that there is something you are in deep doo-doo, right? Or ladies come up with a different tactic. They just go in silent mode. Either one. If you want the husband to know what the problem is, talk to them. Since you like to communicate, talk to them with a love. Because I'll be the first one to admit, we don't get it. Okay? We don't have everything in all the ducks in a row. So if we don't get to you properly, then you speak to us. Wives, extend your forgiveness. Extend your love. Guys, do the same thing. And some people say, well, I cannot help because I'm not God. I have an attitude. Let me ask you this. You say you are not God, but are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Which means Christ-like. I know I'm not making friends today with anybody. Good. But am I speaking the truth? If you're a Christian, which means Christ-like, when you act that way, are you acting as a Christian or are you acting as a heathen? Think about it. Chapter 31, verse 10, please. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Just as wisdom is far more important than wealth, and the good godly character is far more important than the beauty. Listen, please. Marriage does not change a person's character. If there is a character weakness, a character flaw, either husband or wife, who doesn't, right? Who doesn't? Everybody has it. Everybody has at least one weakness, and marriage will only reveal and accentuate that weakness. A husband and wife who hope to change his or her spouse after the honeymoon the way they want will face disappointment and frustration. Do you agree? Ladies and gentlemen, don't imagine that you can change your spouse unless he or she is in still diaper. You cannot change him. If you live with your spouse for some time, you know that person better than anyone, even that person himself or herself, or even parents. As much as you are not perfect, I know to some of you it's a surprise, you're not perfect and nobody and your spouse is not perfect either. There's only one person who is perfect and you have not married to that person yet. That's Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Jesus Christ as a church. And your spouse is not perfect. If husband and wife does not trust each other, they will be harmony. Let me rephrase. If the husband and wife trust each other, there will be harmony in their home. If brides and grooms take seriously the vow of love and loyalty they repeat to each other, to God, during their wedding ceremonies, they will have a wall of confidence around their marriage. They will keep all the other enemies out of their marriage. Let's move down to verse 31 in chapter 31. Chapter 13 of 31. We seek wool, she seeks wool and flax, and willing to work with her hands. And she is like a merchant ship, and she brings her food from the far, and she also rises while it's yet light at night, and provides food for her household and portion of her for her maid servant. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girded herself with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretched out her hands to the staff and her hands hold the spindle. She extended her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. All her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes a tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gate, and when he sits among the elders of the land, she makes a linen garment and sells them. Supplies the chest and for the merchant. This lady can do it all. She says, move over, Martha Stewart. She even go out, to go, as you can tell, then in verse 17, she goes to the gym. Did you read that, remember? Strengthen her arms, doing curling then. Verse 23 brings an important point for us to make a note. Even though she is an industrial person, she is the one who is actually making an income while her husband is sitting at the gate, which means that he is a ruler and elder of the town. She does not disrespect him. In the New Testament, it clearly tells the husband to love their wives. But wives is not told to love their husband, rather submit and respect them. Especially, this is especially important during this time. Why? Because every single TV commercials and the movies trying to degrade the role of a father and husband. They try to make a husband as a bunch of bumbling idiot. Isn't that true? Even the TV commercials making the husband like a dimwit. As I said before, I would be the first one to admit that. But you ladies, do not jump on that bandwagon. You are disobeying the Lord by doing so. The wife needs to respect her husband as much as she wants to be loved by him. Let me say one more time. Wife should respect her husband as much as she wants to be loved by him. You with me, ladies? I know some of you ladies are not responding. It's not about worthiness. It's about God's commandment. You hear me? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husband. Submit to your own husband as the Lord, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. I'm not saying that your husband is the Savior. He has a seniority over you. This is what God says, and whether you believe or not, it settles. Husband, love your wives. Wives, respect, submit to your husband. Let me be a little bit more practical here. Ladies, do not flaunt your higher income and higher education and knowledge to your husband. If you do that, you're giving a great opportunity for Satan to come after your husband. Because there's not many guys, because guys have an ego problem. And let's admit it, guys. If you do undermine your husband's authority, you're giving opportunity to Satan to destroy him and destroy your marriage. I've seen this kind of example time after time. There was a person, my coworker, she was a high up manager in the company where I used to work for. She let her husband know how much she's making. And by any means, he would not make that kind of money. Guess what happened to their marriage? Another status quo of the divorce court. Husband and wife should complement each other as they seek to fulfill their role in the will of God. Wise is a husband who recognizes his wife's strength and let her compensate for his weaknesses. Doing this is not a sign of a personal failure, guys, nor is it a rebellion against the divine order. Both leadership and submission in the home are evidence of love and obedience. The one does not nullify the other. Okay? Let's move down to verse 25. The strength of strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, and she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hand and let her own work praise her in the gates. This is the woman of faith, and she knows that God is with her and her family. She has a wisdom that comes from God alone. And her husband is wise enough to recognize and praise her. She works faithfully, and she takes care of the needy people. Guys, if you think that you are the one who is carrying the majority role of in the family, think again. Try to fill her shoes, rather sandals, stiletto, or high heels, whatever you want to call it, lady. Try to fill her roles for a week. You'll be glad that you are not wife. The last woman's retreat in the end of the September. Right before then, one of our husbands in our fellowship were panicking. He was about to have a heart attack. And we found out because his wife's going to go to the woman's retreat for a weekend and he's going to have a children all by himself. Guess what? He survived. And he appreciate her all the more. Ladies and gentlemen, please note the verse 28 and 29. Her family praises and bless her for who she is and what she does. Isn't it true for us to see the flaws and the shortcomings of other people so easily? Even if those shortcomings and flaws are exact same thing what I do, what you do. And what is our lame excuse for that? Well, couldn't help. And I'm not perfect. Then we should not demand other people do the same thing. When was the last time you gave a good, hearty praise to your spouse? If you have to think for some time, you're well overdue. Okay? I'm not talking about lip service. I'm talking about hearty praise that comes from your heart. Please look for good things that your spouse does, even though she or she may not meet your high standard. It's easy for us to look for bad things from our spouse. When I do the marital counseling, the typical thing woman says, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do this. And her husband says, she does this, she does this, she does this. Well, why don't you do it the other way around? And the first thing I would like, and then after I asked them, would you do what Bible says if I show it to you? And if they said yes, and the second thing I asked them, do you guys love each other? And they said, yeah. Then read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 with your name on it. All of a sudden they say, do we need to go on more? Remember what I said. Forgiveness, extra measure of love, goes a long way. Remember, Bible says love covers multitude of sins. If you do that, if you compliment each other with a hearty praise, you'll be surprised how much your spouse is pumped up and looking for the next good things to please you. We'll make four applications. Number one, easy on criticism. Easy on criticism against your spouse, but high on praise for him or her. Compliment. It doesn't cost you anything extra, guys, ladies. Second application, never, ever take your spouse for granted. Remember, if you do that, you're grieving God and grieving your spouse. Third, trusting your spouse bring harmony in your home. Trusting your spouse bring harmony in your home. Fourth, take your wedding vow seriously. Take your wedding vow seriously. Remember this, guys, ladies? To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, in health, to love and cherish one another, till death do part. Now, remember, you have promised. Keep it. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let us do what we learned today. Loving one another. Easy on criticism against one another. But praising one another. Encouraging one another. As a bride of Jesus Christ, let us cherish you with all of our heart and mind and soul. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.